Like anything else, there are fads and fibs. Do these sound familiar?
The doctor will be right with you.
After he checks out of the raunchy motel with his wife's best friend, calls his broker and catches a 4:30 rerun of Dad's Fever.
I'm sorry. He's in a meeting right now. But if you leave your name and number, he'll call you right back.
After he retires.
This meal was absolutely delicious. I must have the recipe.
So she can sell it to Soviet spies for chemical warfare.
My God, you lost weight.
Now you only look like half a side of beef.
Oh, you look fabulous.
For a pig.
Speaking of weight, what do you tell people after you've gained a whole lot of weight?
Oh, that's simple. I just tell the truth. The fact is, it seems that I've been having a bizarre psychological reaction to stress that results in sleep eating. They call it consomnia. No, I've never heard of it before either. But the doctors tell me that I wake up in the middle of the night, eat a healthy portion of anything that isn't moving, then go back to sleep. Take it from me. It's pure hell.
You know, that's almost as bad as my problem. There was this new place by the office that advertised cheeseburger. Only 200 calories each, including the french fries. Can you imagine? They were simply delicious, and I ate them every day for lunch. Sometimes for dinner, too. The next thing I know, the guy's in jail for fraud, and I'm the size of a house. I should have known it was too good to be true. I was eating 1,500-calorie lunches, plus dessert. Who knew?
A good excuse maker is always prepared in case someone questions the validity of his story. Even the world's greatest excuse maker raises an eyebrow or two with a complicated tale. The trick is knowing how to shift the focus of the conversation into something else. For example,
when a person uncovers one small fact in your story which would make the entire thing untrue.
Start to cry and mumble how you were unloved as a child.
When a person uncovers several small facts in your story which would make the entire thing untrue.
Demand to know if you're being called a liar and question the integrity of a relationship where anything you say is scrutinized and believed to be untrue.
When a person has ironclad proof that everything you just said was a complete lie.
Immediately accuse that person of doing something far worse than lying and shift the focus of the conversation to the accuser's cruel and selfish streak.
Creative excuse-making is vital for all areas of life, particularly romance. Let's face it, no one wants to marry or even date a person with a dull, boring past, insignificant present, or pitiful future. Potential mates seek mystery, romance, adventure, and lots of cash. Tell a woman you're an insurance salesman and she won't bat an eye. But tell her you're head of surgery for a major medical institution and a close personal friend of Frank Sinatra, and she's yours. Not only that, but a wildly inventive past and present opens the door to literally hundreds of excuses day after day.
And it's just as important that he tell the story well. I've developed a knack for spotting anyone who might be trying to pull a fast one. One of the best ways to tell a tale teller is to see if he can look you in the eye. Eyes are classic whistleblowers and will tell you if someone is fibbing faster than bamboo under the fingernail kits, body stretch racks, and all the other fine products made by the Medieval Torture Supply and Equipment Corporation of Nutley, New Jersey. This truism may be based on a little-known ancient superstition, a deep-rooted mass psychological fear that if you look at someone directly in the eye when telling a lie, yours will fall right out of your head.
Seems to me one of the easiest ways to spot a phony story is to see if the teller gets confused. If a person's saga seems all out of whack, ask a few pointed questions. If he can't get the facts straight, then you're being conned. Keep in mind, though, confusion is not always due to a lie. For example, if a person doesn't pick you up for work because he claims his car broke down and later cites three unrelated mechanical problems, then chances are he's handing you a line. But if a person doesn't pick you up because he claims his late Aunt Rose borrowed the car, this is not called an excuse. It's called senility.
I know a real dead giveaway. If you happen to notice that a person looks like he just stepped out of a jacuzzi and it is not August in Dallas, then chances are he's telling you a story. Sweating is a psychological reaction to stress, lying, or a very cheap deodorant. Ancient scriptures reveal that humans perspire in these situations due to a genetic failsafe based on the assumption that when a person starts to sweat buckets, people will be too grossed out to care if he is lying.
Speaking of liars, what happened to that guy you were saying?
Oh, yeah, Jack. Well, you know, I got disillusioned with him. You know what happened every time I left a message on his answering machine?
Hi there. This is Jack. I've been waiting for you to call. Just leave your name and I'll get right back to you.
Hello, Jack. Dora here. Important. Please call me back tonight. Hello, this is Dora.
Hi, love. How are you?
Jack, I called you a week ago. How come you're just returning my call now?
Well, you see, Dora, it's like this. This really gruesome creature made its way into the house and took an unusual liking to my phone. It was bigger than a roach, just as disgusting, but smaller than a rat. Oh, you don't want to know. Anyway, I wasn't going near that thing for anything. Thank God, it finally left after unsuccessfully trying to mate with my trim line.
I swallowed that one. After all, I was crazy about that guy. I wanted to believe him. So, the next week we had a date for 7:30 for dinner. The clock strikes 12 o'clock. I'm still waiting.
Wait, Dora, don't throw that at me. I know I'm late, and you're not going to believe this, but after everyone left the office, I figured I had a chance to do some Xeroxing without being bothered. That line can be unreal during the day. Everything was going well until my tie got caught in the feeder and yanked me right into the machine. I screamed for help, but it took a while until security came and untangled me. It was still early, so then I had to run down to my mother's house to help her move the oven. Next thing I know, I'm eating roast chicken. And then she chewed my ear off and wouldn't let me leave till Jay Carson finished his monologue.
Could you believe that story? I mean, if he was going to lie, he could have used a believable excuse, like, while I was in the shower, somebody stole all the phones. Or, I drove my boss to the airport, and after he boarded the plane, I realized I still had some important papers. The ground attendants were nice enough to let me dash on the plane, but not bright enough to tell the flight crew to wait. The next thing I knew, I was on my way to Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Yeah, that's a really good story. Could have happened to anyone. So, did you give the guy the shove?
I was pretty crazy about him, so I gave him another chance. So, one night, we're supposed to go to my boss's house for dinner, so he calls. Hello there. This is Dora.
Hi, Dora doll. Listen, kid, I'm really sorry. Can't make the dinner tonight. I feel awful having to explain this, but I was giving my hair a hot oil treatment. Well, I didn't know you weren't supposed to use Mazola, and now I can't get it out of my hair. I've already tried Comet, and it still won't come out. Anyway, I look like I had some kind of bizarre brain surgery or something, and I'm not going anywhere.
You didn't give him another chance after that, did you?
Yeah. So one night he comes to dinner.
Now listen, doll, I have to leave.
Leave? You just got here.
Did I tell you the doctor put me on a special diet? Well, you see, I have this rare disease and can only eat very specific foods. You probably don't have any carrot puree with ginseng. I'd better run to the health food store before it closes.
Oh, good. That's just what we're having for dinner.
We are? My God, look, it's a full moon.
Huh?
There are a couple of things I never told you, but I don't think right now is the time to get into it, so I'd better be going. Hey, incidentally, do you have any dog bones I can munch on the way home?
Oh, sure I do. You can munch them right here.
I think I'm having a recurrence of some LSD I took a few years ago. My God, you're warm.
wallpaper is moving. Don't you see that?
I'd better be going. You just stay where you are and entertain that small man coming out of your nose.
That didn't. I said... Oh, excuse me. There's the phone. Hello? This is Dora. Can I help you?
You certainly can, Dora. Your friend Freddy Fabulous Flight at your store bill is 3 months overdue. With the interest you already owe us, you could buy a new bedroom suite. When do you plan to pay this bill?
You see, it's really a sad story. I accidentally spilled a carton of crazy glue all over my phone and permanently bonded my fingers together. It's been murder trying to write, so I'm going in for surgery in a few weeks. As soon as I recuperate, I'll be happy to send you a check. Provided, of course, they can pry my legs off the brake front.
Listen, lady, last month you said you got hit by a bowling ball, and the month before that you thought there was a mail strike. So now, what about paying your bill? Huh?
Ah! I gotta hang up. I got a bat caught in my hair. It's really violent. Oh, God, I think I'm going to pass out. I really gotta go.
Oh, you won't believe what I just did. I just took a sip out of a can of Coke with a cigarette butt in it. Oh, geez, I'm getting sick. Let me call you later.
Dora is what I call a creative excuse maker. You know, of course, it's been proven that certain substances will actually help you in inventing truly clever stories, while others will cause you to spill the beans and tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth. It's important to familiarize yourself with these substances so there are no unfortunate accidents.
That's not news to me. Here are the things that generally help me to make up good stories. Tequila, vodka, marijuana, LSD, although it should be noted that though inventive stories concocted under the influence of LSD are usually of no value to you or anyone else. However, some of these stories have been sold to British television.
I find Peruvian guava root helps me. But you should know the things that will probably make you tell the truth, like liquid Valium, milk of magnesia, sodium pentothal, midnight visits from God, and recurring nightmares involving Liberace.
It's not just enough to pay attention to your state of mind. It's also important to recognize that different parts of the country require different treatments of your excuse. Dialects, way of life, and differing time zones all come into play when you're on the road. For example, in certain sections of Brooklyn, large breasts are usually referred to as kanakas. But if you're in Hawaii and tell someone you were late because you were knocked over by a fat woman with huge kanakas, you're now talking about a woman with two large natives by her side, most probably Jack Lord and Don Hall. In certain cities, some excuses add up to a star performance, while in others, you'd get laughed right out of town. Let me give you some examples. Los Angeles.
I had to attend the funeral of a dog who accidentally boiled to death in a hot tub.
New York.
The roaches built a barricade using old roach motels and wouldn't let you out the front door.
New Jersey.
Someone accidentally spilled toxic waste on your suit.
San Francisco.
You had an uncontrollable desire to redecorate.
Las Vegas.
You got neon poisoning.
Dallas. You drove to the other end of a shopping center parking lot and ended up in Houston.
Hello, this is Dora. Can I help you?
Listen, lady. This is Friendly Freddy Fabulous Furniture. I finally got a check out of you 6 months late. And guess what? The darn thing is rubber. It bounces sky high. And what do you have to say for yourself?
I know this is going to sound crazy, but some clerk at the bank took an immediate dislike to me after I accidentally hit him in the head with a large loaf of Italian bread. Now, obsessed with revenge, he purposely bounces all my checks. The bank manager is aware of it, and though he waives the service charges, he can't really fire the guy. You know these unions.
Lady, I don't buy that. I called the bank. The fact is your account is 96 cents in it.
Oh, I bet I know what happened. I had written a check to a local merchant, and you know what he did? He changed the decimal point and altered the check from $50 to $5,000. He's in jail now, thank God. And as soon as I pick up the money, I'll be able to write you a new check.
That's the story you told us last month.
Oh, you're right. I do get confused. Well, the fact is, this month my secretary, and I can't understand this because she's been with me for years, took it upon herself to cash my paycheck and run off to the Poconos with my money. I thought she was out ill this week, but police tell me they lost her somewhere near the Mount Airy Lodge.
Pretty good, Dora. Next month, try this one. Karl Marx appeared to my spouse in a dream and filled his head with guilt about our bourgeois lifestyle. Well, the next thing I knew, my husband emptied our joint checking account, put the money in sacks of fives and tens, then walked through the streets distributing the money to bag ladies and bums. Take it from me. Be glad you're single.
Well, I'm single, and I'm not glad. But the guys are so touchy. Take Bill, for example. I was supposed to call him back, and he got mad when I didn't, so I said to him, right as I was supposed to call you, my mother called, convinced there was an intruder in the house. You know my mother. Anyway, she made me stay on the phone for at least an hour while she patrolled the house with a can of hairspray. By the time she let me go, I was so tired, not to mention starving, that I went right to bed.
Oh, what did Bill say?
He hung up on me.
Well, you have to be careful in excuse-making. Believe it or not, everything that pops into your mind should not be used as the basis of a story. Many different creative situations, though tempting, may raise a suspicious brow.
Oh, sure. For example, no excuse should involve alien spacecraft, dinosaurs, visits from God, Lebanese terrorists, 18th century slave ships.
On the other hand, any excuse could involve mechanical defects in a Ford, rabid schnauzers, a dental hygienist, Amtrak, and lots more.
Well, that's true. But it's important to notice that some people are shiftier than others. Sure, there are the obvious well-educated con artists like lawyers, real estate brokers, and shop-at-home upholstery salesmen. But what about all the other people you come in contact with day after day? How honest are they? Who can you trust?
Yes, sir. Like dry cleaners, they always have excuses for why the plastic looks better pressed than your suit.
Well, how about the maitre d', who tells you why that exotic new herb in your salad looks exactly like a hare?
Not as bad as the travel agent who tells you that they sent hundreds of people to that resort and no one mentioned a thing about flying rats.
And my tax accountant, who tells me I won't find jail all that bad.
It's hard enough these days even to know what people do. Like a domestic engineer.
You mean a housewife.
Right. And how about a cosmetologist?
Oh, that's easy. That's a hairdresser.
My friend is an administrative assistant.
Which means secretary.
Like a plumber is really an extortionist.
And my dentist title should be sadist.
You look so blue. What's the problem?
Well, you know I lost my last job, and every time I have an interview and tell them why I was fired, they lose interest in me.
Why were you fired?
Well, the fact is I was incompetent.
That's a dumb thing to say. How about a creative excuse like...
To be quite honest, and I say this without conceit, I developed a streamlined organizational structure that eliminated over 300 positions. Problem was, one of them was my boss's, so he fired me.
Why don't you try something like this?
I didn't know that Watts line wasn't for personal use. Thing is, I got away with it for years, until my sister moved to Hawaii. And, well, I guess it kind of stuck out.
The one I always use when I'm fired is that I notice my medical benefits covered psychiatry. So I started to see a shrink, you know, just to see what it's all about. Well, the next thing I knew, my boss told me there was no room in the company for unstable employees. Talk about a catch-22. By the way, what really happened to get you fired?
Well, there was this important report, and I just didn't get around to doing it.
But there's a lot of convincing reasons you could have given the boss. Like saying, I had an office temp come in so the report would be completed in time. Well, wait till you hear this. Those idiots sent me a woman from Costa Rica, and she typed the entire thing in Spanish. Do you believe it? I was just on my way to get another typist.
There's an even better excuse.
I just had the most frustrating experience. I went out and rented a brand new typewriter, so that report would be just perfect, you know. And after typing for about 2 hours, I looked up and noticed the entire thing was filled with these crazy dots. I guess I accidentally rented a Braille typewriter.
Now that excuse-making is recognized as a specific and very useful skill, there is a whole body of advice developed over the years by the experts. If you pay attention to the following tips, you can't help but be successful at the art of creative excuse making.
Hey, smoke heavily to develop a nagging, hacking cough.
Study the great Richard Nixon, J.R. Ewing, and Tiny Tim.
Always have several trusted flunkies to provide you with ironclad alibis.
Become known for your large and deranged family.
If your hands shake when you lie, put them in your pockets. If you don't have pockets, tie them with bakery string and explain it as the latest craze in Paris.
If your excuse is challenged, deny, deny, deny. If still challenged, throw up immediately and divert all attention to your health.
Subscribe to the National Enquirer.
Become known for your poor medical history.
Never make an excuse based on an anonymous woman. Call her Shirley.
If you happen to flub in the middle, do not panic. Just fall to the floor and pretend you've had a heart attack.
Play poker to develop a straight face.
Develop a close relationship with the doctor, in case a medical note is necessary.
Never scratch your head and say, oh.
With that parting advice, we wish you a successful career as a creative excuse maker. Remember those golden words. There are times in life when a little story beats the hell out of telling the truth.